imagine me, a dog, moving in with a human. I didn't know how it would work. Turns out, my human's pretty entertaining. For instance, every time I give my human his ball, he throws it as far as he can. And I'm like, dude, that's your ball. So I go get it. But he just throws it. Again. I gotta say, though, the more he does it, the funnier it is. I love my human.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
Anyone 5 WMFO Medford.
They're getting closer.
Oh, yeah? Watch this.
Watch what?
People you love will turn their backs on you. You'll lose your hair, your teeth. Your knife will fall out of its sheath. But you still don't like to leave before the end of the movie. People you hate will get their hooks into you. They'll pull you down, you'll frown. They'll tar you and drag you through town. But you still don't like to leave before the end of the movie. No, you still don't like to leave before the end of the show.
Everybody, my name is Chris Earle. The show is Watch This here on WMFO in Medford, Massachusetts. It's a movie show. For years, I was doing time travel with Chris Earle. It was all music, and I jumped around from year to year. And then I was deciding to end the show, and I thought, well, why not do a show about movies and have guests and also run solo in here and tell you about some of my favorite movies? Because a movie tells you a whole lot more about an individual than actual songs. I've got five great flicks for you today. The first one is from 1956. It stars Rock Hudson, Elizabeth Taylor, and right before he passed away, Mr. James Dean, adapted from the 1952 novel, it is Giant, here on Watch This.
Is Texas, mighty colossus of the Southwest, a land of infinite variety and violent contrasts, a land where today's ranch hand can become tomorrow's multimillionaire. But more than a state, here is a state of mind, manners, morals, emotions of people who are often as exhilarating, exasperating, exciting as the land they belong to. Out of this fabulous and tempestuous panorama comes a story of magnificent scope and great personal charm. A cavalcade that spans a quarter century. Of stormy passions, deep human understanding, and love. Always love. Powerful. Unquestioning. Constant.
I guess you're about the best-looking gal we've seen around here in a long time. I think. Prettiest and I think I've seen down here.
Why, thank you, Jen. That's a very nice compliment. And I'm going to tell my husband I've met with your approval.
Oh, well, no, I wouldn't do that. I mean, well, no, I... I'm a rich boy. Me, I'm gonna have more money than you ever thought of having.
Why, that's wonderful, Jim.
You sure do look pretty, Miss Leslie. You always did look pretty. That's pretty nice, good enough to eat.
Wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. Wait a minute, wait a minute.
Wait a minute. Oh, you're touchy, Vic. Tessie is no cook.
Vic, you should have shot that fella a long time ago. Now he's too rich to kill.
everybody. My name's Chris Earle. Once again, it's Watch This here on WMFO in Medford, Massachusetts. I have the Giant soundtrack playing in the background. Giant is a movie from 1956. It is an epic American Western drama film directed by a guy named George Stevens from screenplay by Fred Jewell and Ivan Moffat from Edna Ferber's 1952 novel. It stars Elizabeth Taylor, Rock Hudson, and James Dean. And you can also see a young Dennis Hopper in the movie, as well as Sal Mineo and Mercedes McCambridge, who was nominated for an Oscar in the movie. It won Best Director, and it was nominated for 9 other Oscars as well. It was James Dean's last movie. He was 24 years old when he died, and he's great in it. He's fantastic as Jet Rink. Rock Hudson plays Jordan Bick Benedict Jr., and Elizabeth Taylor plays Leslie Benedict. And they're basically oil ranchers that are down in Texas, and it tells you a whole lot about Texas. There's a very powerful theme of racism. Segregation enforced against Mexican Americans is discussed in the movie. Elizabeth Taylor is looking as lovely as she ever did in the role. And Rock Hudson's fantastic. And James Dean, like I said, is just awesome in it. And it follows them for a number of years. It's a great, great movie. It's 3 hours and 21 minutes long. So it's really an epic to watch. You can take a little break in between and get up and make yourself some popcorn and get yourself a nice banana split or something while you're watching this movie. It is a great, great, great movie. I never saw it until about 5 or 6 years ago. And it was always one on my list. And it's become one of my favorite movies of all time. Its budget was $5.4 million. The box office was $39 million. And pretty much when you think about Texas, think about Giant, because it's all about Texas. Even though it was supposed to be a social commentary, and Edna Ferber wrote making fun of Texans, a lot of Texas people really, really loved this movie, as well as people outside of Texas, of course. I lived in Texas for a couple of years, and I always said Texas is one of the only states that could actually secede from the Union and still exist. Texas is amazing. I still have a number of good friends down in Texas, and with all the pomp and circumstance that happens down in Texas, they've really earned it. It's a pretty awesome place. So anyway, it's got a 95% approval rating on Rotten Tomatoes. It has a 7.7 out of 10. It is a general audience picture, so you could watch this with the whole family. Again, it's a drama western, and it's a sprawling epic that covers the life of Texan cattle ranchers and the family and the associates involved there. It's a great, great flick. I can't praise it enough. I have 4 other flicks for you. Let me give you a little trivia from Giant, though, while we were here. And I got the Yellow Rose of Texas coming up in the background. Carol Baker, who plays Elizabeth Taylor's daughter in the movie, was actually older than Elizabeth Taylor. George Stevens wanted to cast fading star Alan Ladd, who he had previously cast in Shane, who we also talked about, me and my father talked about on Watch This a number of months ago. But his wife advised against it, so the role went to James Dean. Rock Hudson and James Dean did not get along, although later rumors suggested that Dean had rejected a pass from the actor. Most sources reported that each of them had little respect for the other's approach to acting, and Hudson resented what he considered Dean's unprofessional behavior. I'm going to blast some Yellow Rose of Texas. I'll come back here and give you a little bit more about Giant. Watch this here on WMFO in Medford. So the soundtrack was done by a guy named Dmitri Tiomkin. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. It's got a very sweeping soundtrack. It's very awesome. It's very in-your-face and very majestic. He was the composer along with the Warner Brothers Studio Orchestra. Back then, of course, every studio had their own orchestra. And they would hire somebody to come in and create the soundtrack with their hired hands. It was released, a few songs were released on LP, and then later on they remastered all the tracks and issued them on a CD. Had a double CD, about a double CD that included all the music from the film. It's a very beautiful movie. AFI's 100 Years, 100 Movies, it's on that list at number 82. Considered one of the best movies of 1956. Again, giant. George Stevens gave Rock Hudson a choice between Elizabeth Taylor and Grace Kelly to play his leading lady, and Rock Hudson chose Taylor. And after James Dean died, which was right before the movie came out, a guy named Nick Adams overdubbed some of James Dean's lines. He was in an ABC television series called The Rebel, and he actually died of an overdose at a young age, too. Nick Adams died at the age of 36. Rock Hudson, of course, died. James Dean, of course, died at the age of 24. And as we know, years later, Rock Hudson contracted AIDS. He was one of the, he was basically the star and fortunately the butt of a number of jokes in the 80s when AIDS was just becoming known. There were a lot of unfortunate Rock Hudson jokes out there, but Rock Hudson was great in it as Jordan Bick Benedict. And you really get to know these people along the way. That's what I love about some of these, some of the movies. You know, when you have good characters, it's a character study. It also says a hell of a lot about where you live. And also a lot about greed. And again, look for Dennis Hopper in there as a young dude. Clark Gable was actually considered the role of Bick Benedict that Rock Hudson plays, but was rejected as too old by Warner Brothers studio producer Jack Warner. And during the filming, Elizabeth Taylor became very close with James Dean, and some nights they'd stay up all night, and he'd talk about his frustrations with his life as an actor, restrictions of Hollywood life, and his past traumas. But unlike Rock Hudson, he rarely acknowledged Elizabeth Taylor on the set and ignored her completely after a night of bearing his soul to her. Later on, of course, there was Dynasty and Dallas, and the character of Jet was inspired by Larry Hagman's character, J.R. Ewing. Larry Hagman was inspired by Jet when he played J.R. Ewing in Dallas. James Dean, supposedly a method actor, well, he was a method actor, so completely immersed in his character, he never changed out of his costume. Which is kind of surprising, because at one point he's just completely covered in oil. I wonder how that worked out. James Dean finished up his photography on Friday, September 23rd, 1955, and unfortunately he died in a car crash a week later. It's a great flick. I like to say that a lot about the flicks that I play on here, of course. I always try to pick five of my favorites, and this week, no exception, trying to dig a little bit deeper and play a few things that you may not know that you might want to go out and rent or stream. So again, Giant, 1956. I'm going to move on to flick number two here. It is from 1975. It is by the famous director Stanley Kubrick. It is my favorite Stanley Kubrick movie. It is Barry Lyndon here on Watch This.
Barry Lyndon, a film by Stanley Kubrick, starring Ryan O'Neal and Marissa Berenson, has won the Best Picture and Best Director Award presented by the National Board of Review. Richard Schickel, in a Time magazine 7-page cover story, called the film ravishing, overwhelming, an uncompromised artistic vision, and said, Director Stanley Kubrick asserts a claim to greatness that time alone can, and probably will, confirm. CBS TV critic Pat Collins called it a masterpiece, monumental, a perfect film of epic size. Playboy magazine's Bruce Williamson, a film classic. Rex Reed of the New York Daily News wrote, "As an 18th century rake's progress, Barry Lyndon catalogs the rise and fall of a likable scoundrel, liar, cheat, and social climber, transporting the viewer into a world of long ago and creating the kind of magic few movies accomplish and few directors attempt in a lifetime. It is a magnificent entertainment, sumptuous, lush, gorgeous, and haunting, a classic of inestimable value." Liz Smith of Cosmopolitan called it a perfect movie. Beautiful, breathtaking, brilliant. Like a gorgeous, fulfilling dream of life, a dream you never want to end. It is not comparable to any other film I can recall. I ask you to turn yourself over to the experience. Barry Lyndon, a film by Stanley Kubrick based on the novel by William Makepeace Thackeray, starring Ryan O'Neill and Marissa Berenson.
On guard.
I will pay you today, sir.
So my second flick here is Barry Lyndon from 1975. It's a film by Stanley Kubrick, who pretty much is my favorite director of all time. Guy's a genius. It's produced by Stanley Kubrick, screenplay by Stanley Kubrick. It was based on something called The Luck of Barry Lyndon by William Makepeace Thackeray, which was published in serial form in 1844. The film departs from the novel a little bit. In Thackeray's writings, the events are related in the first person by Barry himself, and it's a comic tone. And he is also an unreliable narrator. In Kubrick's film, he has an omniscient narrator in there. And Kubrick made a few changes to the plot, including the addition of the final duel. It's just awesome seeing these duel scenes, just amazing. So it's a British-American period drama released by Warner Brothers, based on the novel by William Makepeace Thackeray, The Luck of Barry Lyndon. Ryan O'Neill, Marissa Berenson, Patrick McGee, Leonard Rossiter, and Hardy Kruger are in the film. It recounts the early exploits and later the unraveling of a fictional 18th century Irish rogue, an opportunist who marries a rich widow to climb the social ladder and assume her late husband's aristocratic position. The cinematography has been described as groundbreaking, especially notable of the long double shots, which usually end with a slow backward zoom. Basically, a double shot is a type of shot where the frame encompasses two people. Subjects don't have to be next to one another. But just all these long double shots, especially in the duel scenes. It's one of the most beautiful movies ever made, too. You look at this and it's just amazing. Roger Ebert considered it one of his favorite movies. Martin Scorsese said this was his favorite Kubrick movie. Its running time is 187 minutes. Its budget was $11 million. Made a box office of $20.2 million. It is rated PG. Again, it's another one of those epics, 3 hours and 5 minutes, in an adventure drama history. And there's parts in it that are just quite hilarious. There's a whole bunch of language involved. So if you like these later things that showed up on Netflix, and Game of Thrones is like that as well, if you're a Game of Thrones fan, you will love this movie, because a lot of the actual sparring is done in language. And then when the moments happen where they break and there is some violence in them, the tension is just built up, and then you could cut it with a knife and then something happens, you're like, wow. Ryan O'Neill, his best movie, in my opinion, of the Ryan O'Neill movies I've seen. He's just fantastic in it. It's got an 8.1 on IMDb. Top-rated movie number 222. It won 4 Oscars. Best cinematography for John Alcott. Best art direction and set decoration. Best costume design. Best music. Scoring of original song and or adaptation by Leonard Rosenman. And you have Handel and all this other great classical music in the background. It was also nominated for a Golden Globe for Best Picture. Just a lovely, lovely soundtrack. Lovely looking movie. And again, if you're a Game of Thrones fan, or you like the art of language in a film, it's just a wonderful little tale. I'll play one more for you, and then we will get back to our third flick, or we will have our third flick. I'm going to play you the end title, which is Handel once again for Barry Lyndon. And we will move on to flick number three. But again, Barry Lyndon, 1975, Stanley Kubrick. It's my pick number two here on Five Flicks today on Watch This on WMFO here in Medford, Massachusetts. Thanks for listening to your Freeform station.
Life together. long and happy life, Jeff.
Thank you. That's very kind of spread it. Here is my toast, dear Captain John Quinn.
How dare you behave like that in my house? Listen, Brady, take the children out. Captain Quinn, my dear fellow, are you all right?
What you got in the trunk?
You don't want to look in there.
Suppose you're thinking about a plate of shrimp. Suddenly somebody will say, like, plate. Or shrimp, or plate of shrimp, out of the blue, no explanation. No point in looking for one either. It's all part of a cosmic unconsciousness.
You eat a lot of acid, Miller, back in the hippie days?
Sell that car and send me your money. You don't need that car.
Put it on a plate, son. You'll enjoy it more.
Couldn't enjoy it anymore, Mom. This is swell.
What's this?
Charming friends you got there, Otto.
Thanks. I made them myself.
I had a lobotomy in the end.
Lobotomy? Isn't that for loonies?
Not at all. A friend of mine had one.
I do my best thinking on the bus. That's how come I don't drive, see?
You don't even know how to drive.
I don't want to know how. I don't want to learn, see? The more you drive, the less intelligent you are.
We'll be right back.
kissing on the desert sands. When the desert whispered to me, he said, isn't this a shame? Things will never be the same.
A lot of people don't realize what's really going on. They view life as a bunch of unconnected incidents and things. They don't realize that there's this, like, lattice of coincidence that lays on top of everything. I'll give you an example, show you what I mean. Suppose you're thinking about a plate of shrimp. Suddenly somebody will say, like, plate or shrimp or plate of shrimp, out of the blue, no explanation. No point in looking for one either. It's all part of a cosmic unconsciousness.
You eat a lot of acid, Miller, back in the hippie days?
I'll give you another instance. You know the way everybody's into weirdness right now? Books in all the supermarkets about Bermuda triangles, UFOs, how the Mayans invented television, that kind of thing.
I want to read them books.
Well, the way I see it, it's exactly the same. There ain't no difference between a flying saucer and a time machine. People get so hung up on specifics, they miss out on seeing the whole thing. Take South America, for example. In South America, thousands of people go missing every year. Nobody knows where they go. Just like disappear. But if you think about it for a minute, you realize something. There had to be a time when there was no people, right?
Yeah, I guess.
Well, where did all these people come from? I'll tell you where. The future. Where did all these people disappear to?
The past?
That's right. And how'd they get there?
How the fuck do I know?
Flying saucers, which are really, yeah, you got it, time machines.
left and a shove from the right. It's all planned out. We'll do it tonight.